It's good to see everybody today. I hope everyone's having a nice day. Obviously, it was a great team victory for us on Sunday, much needed, long overdue. Offensively, it was, I thought our most balanced game we've played all season. I thought our guys played hard, physical. I thought they came off the football. I thought our backs ran really hard. I thought Johnny played well, with the exception of the one pass. I thought he played very, very well and took another step forward in where we want him to be, as a Cleveland Browns quarterback. So I was pleased with his execution. I was pleased with the way he got in and out of the huddle. I was really pleased with the way at the end of the game where I put it on him to manage the clock with the last 10 and a half minutes to go in the game. We were up 3 scores, and I put it on him. I gave him the play, and I said, hey, you manage the huddle. Break the huddle at 12 seconds. If we have a motion, break the huddle at 14 seconds. And he did a great job, with those things. Obviously, big loss for us, losing Brian Hartline. Total bummer losing Brian. He really, really started to come on once we moved him inside. And I think, I'm really looking forward to, having him in that role again next season. And, but we're really, really sad to lose Brian. He's a major part of what we were doing. Well, I think when we popped those two big runs early, I think it gave us a lot of confidence, And the cut that, Crow's run was more of a, just he exploded through the hole. I mean, there was a hole there. He found it, exploded through it. And then Duke's was a cutback that usually isn't there with that play. That's a front side run we call six pop. He did a great job of finding the hole on the backside. And our left side of the line washed everyone down. And those were two great runs and two well-executed plays by our guys. And I think once we hit those two big ones early, I think that gave us a lot of confidence.
On Hartline, would you expand on that role that you hope he's back in and explain why it took a while for him to get some consistency in his production?
Well, I think, anyone's new in the offense. I was learning on what Brian did well myself in the first 4 or 5 games. And, Brian was producing and everyone was healthy, and it's, we had roles for each guy, and trying to get each guy in the field to make sure they were doing the things that we felt that they were good at. And then once we lost a few players, we decided to move Brian inside, and he excelled at it. And he excelled at it, and his role in that position grew, and he grew with it. And I was very pleasantly, not surprised, but really comfortable with Brian in there and doing what we asked him to do inside.
Can you just talk about the transition for you in your first year doing that and where you think the run game is kind of schematically?
Sure. I wouldn't say we abandoned the outside zone. I mean, we still have some outside zone plays, but I think we focused this past game on more inside zone plays and, one back gap scheme plays. Our goal was to go in and spread the 49ers out. I mean, they have some big people inside. And we wanted to open up our holes, and our 11 run game has been kind of what we, when I say 11, our 3 wideouts, 1 back run game has been kind of what we've been, I won't say hanging our hat on, but we've been having some success when we have been running the football a little bit in 11 personnel. So that was our goal going in. And like I said, anytime I think you can do something that you want to do early well, I think it gives the play caller a lot more confidence and obviously the players more confidence.
Challenges does it present that the 49ers did not?
Seattle?
Yeah.
They present challenges everywhere. I mean, they're well coached. They are tough. They are physical. They don't miss tackles. They rush the passer with 4 people, with the 4 elite pass rushers. They have there's elite players in the secondary in my mind. And 2 very, very good players in the secondary, in my mind. There's not very many weaknesses to this defense, and they don't do a lot schematically. So what they do is they do it over and over again against what you do. So they fit up runs well. They pattern read well. They're well coached. We have a tremendous challenge Sunday, And I'm going to echo Coach Pettine's words. We're going up there, and we're going to battle, and we're going to fight. And we have a great plan, and we're looking to go up there and win a football game. I was pleased. I thought he was a little high at times. He got bowled a few times. He obviously had the holding call in the long run that got called back, which was a legit hold. He grabbed him. There's no doubt about it. I sit next to Austin in team meetings, and I told him I was really proud of him, the way he went in there and competed. You know, Austin, he's not fundamentally perfect all the time, but he turns it into a street fight, which is kind of his game. And you know, I was pleased with the way he played.
Yeah, weather forecast up there looks really nasty. Mm-hmm. Low 40s, rain all day, a lot of wind. How much do you game plan for weather?
We think about it. You think about it. You never make it a big deal to the players. You don't make those outside factors a big deal. I think you adjust as you go. I think we have plenty of offense, whether it is a day like that or it happens to be, you know, a spotty rain or whatever. But it's Seattle in the winter, and they got to play in those conditions as well.
When you're in the three wide receiver set, does it make it harder to run the outside zone? I mean, is that a factor in why there's less outside zone?
No, you can still run your outside zone out of to the open side and the close side, you know, both to and away from the tight end. It just, you know, we've really gotten into, like I said, I talk about it a lot, the run-pass options. Like that ball that Brian Hartline caught up the middle of the field early in the second half, that was a called run in the huddle. Like that was, we probably had four or five passes that were actually run plays called in the huddle, addition to what we already, you know, what we call locked runs, which are being handed off no matter what the look. So, you know, we were reading the Mike Backer. If there was a six-man box, the mic was in the box, we knew we had room to hit Brian Hartline right up the seam. Meanwhile, if the mic had walked, you know, it was a five-man box, we knew we were going to run the football. So those are the kind of things that Johnny has done in his past. And that's another reason why we kind of went down that route as well, is let's do something that our quarterback's good at and he's done in the past. And you saw how quickly he got that ball of his hand, and Brian made a great catch. And like I said, you know, I've said it all along. We're going to adapt our offense to what our quarterback does well.
With Crowell, a lot of the season statistically in the eyeball test, there wasn't much there. Did he have that great a game, or was it just a matter of the openings that were there and it kind of built upon itself as he took advantage of the first one and then the next one?
I think it was a combination of everything you just said. I think there were probably better holes there. I thought Crow got into a rhythm, you know, got into a rhythm that I know he was pleased with, and obviously we were all pleased with. I thought he was running the ball very hard, and I thought his pad level, he's running with great pad level. He and Duke both. So I think it was a combination of everything you just said.
How good is, obviously one of the, we talk a lot about when Johnny would become a starting quarterback, that he would bring that mobility and then, you know, elusive and keep plays good running. How good is Travis at, like, the scramble drills? Because it seems like we've seen a couple times this year where those two have hooked up on some big gainers where, you know, maybe the pattern breaks off and Travis
sure
does it. How good is he at that, and what kind of chemistry do those two have?
Very good. And we work on scramble drills a good deal. You know, we work on those and we stress those. I think our coaches do a great job of stressing our specific scramble rules, whether we're in the red zone or in the open field. Travis was on what we call a scorch route, where he was going to run a post to the opposite side. So what he did was, when he saw Johnny flushing out, he flattened the route off and did a nice job of finishing towards the sideline. And we were running like a crisscross type of route. So Travis and Johnny have a really good knack of when Johnny breaks the pocket, of him coming back to the ball.
I want to see if you were accurately quoted by your head coach back in week two, where I think Penton said that on the long touchdown at the end of the game that kind of wrapped it up, he said that you either talked to him in the headphones that coaching is overrated.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of thing you're talking about when they kind of make up a play? And
yeah. Coaching's way overrated when you have a free rusher off the edge and the quarterback makes a miss and throws a, you know, 60-yard bomb. That I'd like to take credit for that, but I'm afraid I can't. But, yeah, no, Johnny and those guys, they do a great job of impromptu when they're outside the pocket. Yes, I would say that is correct statement, number one. Number two, I was very pleased with Terrell. The game was not too big for him at all. You know, you didn't see him. I always tell those receivers, no tiptoeing through the tulips. Like, when, you know, pattern your feet, you know, you got to run, you know, run into your routes. And you saw Terrell run. which I was pleased with. Now, he didn't get any targets or catches, but that didn't surprise me either, because being, you know, his first game, his first real game, you're not going to throw a guy out there and base your whole game plan around him, because as a coach, you don't know how he's going to react. New position, you know, those things. So I was pleased with T. And I think as we see the season go along here, these last three games, I think you'll continue to see Terrell's role grow.
Do you think defense have to play you differently because of the Johnny scramble factor? It looks like when he's outside the pocket, guys are running, receivers are running free, which may, you know, I haven't seen him throw into super tight windows because he's got guys running across the field. Is that because they have to worry about him getting outside?
Yeah, you know, and I'm not in any defensive meetings, so I don't know how they teach containing the quarterback. But I think anytime you have a quarterback that can move outside the pocket, and the thing with Johnny is not only being able to get outside the pocket, but is to throw off balance and throw with accuracy from a bunch of different positions and being able to drop his arm in different angles. That's, to me, which is makes Johnny the most dangerous, is his ability to not only throw on the run, but to throw off balance.
On that, Zilla, you had mentioned that from the Cincinnati to Pittsburgh game, he took a very noticeable leap. Was there a similar leap, or was it less dramatic from Pittsburgh to San Francisco?
The thing, I think it was definitely a leap. Now, it probably wasn't as noticeable because we were more balanced offensively. But I see the whole thing. I see him, the confidence in the huddle part of it. I see the coming over to the sidelines and telling me exactly what he saw and why he did certain things. So, he took another step of growth from that standpoint, but from a, you know, it probably wasn't as noticeable a jump as because we were much more balanced.
What did you guys do between Cincinnati and Pittsburgh? Because that second half of Cincinnati was a struggle.
Struggle's putting it nicely.
What did you guys do? Like, show them film over and over and over?
Yeah, and you teach. And like I've said in here several times, Johnny's not a repeat offender, and you know I know what some people think of Johnny, and we talked about perception of him, you know, outside the building last week. I mean, he's coachable. He's a coachable player, and he listens. And you know, as long as he keeps doing that, he's going to continue to get better. You know, Mary Kay, I have a thing. I think I said this one time here. I don't like to compare players, just because each player situation is very different. And so I like to stay away from player comparisons.
Coach Rubin was here for a long time. What's he meant to their defense, and how's he playing for them?
He's playing very well. He's playing very well, and I think it's hard to find. It's not hard. It's impossible to find a weak link, really, in their defense. There's not one player that you would say, wow, we're going to attack this person, or we're going to attack this area of the field. You know, Coach Carroll and Coach Richard do a fantastic job of taking away your strengths. And, you know, we anticipate a dogfight up there, and we're looking forward to that challenge.
Thanks, Coach. I get what you're saying about Coach Holt. I'm sorry.
No, go.
Like, you got national analysts, ex-players like Rodney Harrison, saying you still can't trust Manziel. Heath Evans kind of went off on him, said some really harsh things. Are you still at a point where he has to show you he can be trusted?
I think each player, you know, is a constant. We're all in constant evaluation from somebody. I trust him. I mean, I know him more than most people. I mean, I think, has he made mistakes in the past? Absolutely. We're moving on from those, and each day is a new day for all of us. So, but that's where we are right now.